Amen. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Let's take the Word of God tonight, and we will go to the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter number 18, and in just a moment, we'll begin in verse number 1. Glad to have each and every one of you here tonight. And of course, the Olsons are visiting with us. That's great. And it's good to see Mike and Shannon Johnson back there, and that's great. And Shannon was in our youth group many eons ago, all right? And it seems like that. So she was a fine young lady, and we've got their family. He's a pastor in North Carolina, and they're just passing through. And so that is great. We're glad that they're here tonight as well. Well, I'll tell you, I sure enjoyed having Dr. Siss with us, and that was somewhat of a surprise. And of course, he was planning on being with us back in March for our missions conference, but then of course, the pandemic hit and everything changed and we were not able to have that. But he called me early this week and he told me he was going to be in Dayton area. And of course, I wanted to know. And I said, well, you've got to come and preach for us. And I'll tell you, I just love being around a man that is faithful to God like that. He has something to say. And his life just emanates the faithfulness of God. It really does. And I love him to be around my kids, and they love spending time with him. And I'll tell you just a quick story. And last time he was here, it was a missions conference. He preached for us back last year. And he is huge into basketball. I mean, just and when you call it March Madness, he's right there, you know, in the midst of it. And it was Sunday. He'd preached, done a great job in the morning service, and we were heading into the restaurant after the Sunday morning service, and I said, you know, I said, they're playing March Madness in Columbus right now. I mean, it was going on. They had some of the tournament there. And he said, well, what are we doing here? Why are we not there? And I said, well, I thought we need to go to church. He said, we go to church anytime, man. It's March Madness, you know. And he was kidding, but it was just great, you know. And we just had a great time. And I'll tell you this, as a pastor, you know, there are certain people that just are a blessing to you and encourage you. Well, he is that to me. And he told me this morning, I'm young enough to be his grandson. That made me feel good, you know. And it's just a blessing, and I appreciate him so very much. And you know, I don't know how long the Lord has him here on earth, you know, 87. And I want him to preach as much as he can. And he is a great blessing. And his daughter and son-in-law were there this morning. And we just had a good time of fellowship with them. Well, tonight, I want to continue the series on prayer. You know what I found to be true? I think I could preach on this every Sunday night till Jesus comes and will never exhaust the matter of prayer. And tonight, I want to deal with the subject of prayer and our faith. And I want to preach to you on this subject. Will the Lord find faith? We come to Luke chapter number 18. I want you to see where we find this phrase. And I want you to notice that the very question that Christ asked is in the very context of prayer. Luke chapter 18, we'll begin in verse number 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And let me remind you tonight that you are either praying or you are fainting as a child of God. There really is no in-between. There is no middle ground there. Tonight, I want to ask you a question. Are you praying or fainting? Because if we are not praying, we are fainting. We read on. Jesus said, saying, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I think it is very fitting that when the Lord said, I command you not to faint, but to pray. The ideal here is that the Lord is saying, I am exhorting you to pray always and not to faint. And I think all of us would agree that when we are not praying, we are fainting. Now, the word faint in the Bible does not mean as someone would pass out, physically speaking, and faint. But the word faint has to do with quitting, giving up. I think every one of us know at times in our life where we are on the verge of maybe quitting. Maybe stopping, obeying the Lord in some area in our life. And it goes back to our prayer life. That men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then Jesus gives an example. Now, by the way, do not take the illustration to be an illustration of our Father in heaven, because he is not the unjust judge. In fact, the illustration is given so dramatically different than God to show us how much the Lord wants to hear and answer our prayer. And the ideal here in verse number 8, he says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Aren't you thankful that God is the great avenger, and he avenges speedily? And the Bible says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? The question tonight for you and I, and mostly myself, is, will God find faith when Jesus returns? I want you to think just for a moment, as Dr. Sis talked about today, that the Lord's return, no man knows the day nor the hour. We do not know when Christ will come, but we know that he could come at any moment. Jesus could come before this service ends today. We believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ. He is coming again. But when he comes, what will he find on this earth? Will he find his children with faith? Prayer is connected to our faith life. Let me say this to you. I believe that prayer is simply faith. When I pray, when you pray, we are declaring that there is a God. We are praying to a God that we cannot see, we cannot hear with our physical ears or our physical eyes, but we are praying. That is faith. Prayer is simply faith. And when faith ceases to pray, it ceases to live. Now, here's what I'm not saying tonight. I'm not saying that if you are not praying as God would have you to pray, that you're not a child of God. I think all of us know at times in our lives, even as Christians, that we are fainting rather than praying. I wonder this evening, would, if Jesus came back right now, today, this week, would he find in your life and in my life, would he find a man or a woman or a young person of faith? You say, well, how do we know? Then we ought to look at our prayer life. My pastor growing up used to say that the Christian life is our prayer life. And if you want to kind of take a temperature on your Christian life, then look at your prayer life. The essence of our life is really our praying. It is not the amount of time that we pray, but it is that life of prayer, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Folks, tonight, faith does the impossible because it brings God to undertake for us. And nothing is impossible with God. But a life of prayer is really a life of faith. You say, well, Pastor, I just don't understand about faith. Well, can I tell you that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. D.L. Moody and R.A. Torrey both used to talk about faith, and they used to talk about how our faith grows. And R.A. Torrey specifically said that for a long time in his life, he used to pray for greater faith, and he had less faith than he ever had. But then when he began to get into the Bible and get God's Word in his heart, his faith began to grow in leaps and bounds, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The very object of faith is Jesus Christ. And you see tonight, faith is not me striving for greater faith. Faith is looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. But our prayer is really simply faith in God. And tonight, let's just be honest with ourselves. We don't pray like we should pray because our faith is weak. If we really believe that God heard and answered our prayer, if we really believe that God was who He was and that God loves us and cares for us, we would pray. But we do not pray because our faith is weak. Tonight, will He find faith? Prayer is an object of our faith in the Lord. And may I say this to you, only God can move mountains, but faith and prayer move God. It is our praying to Him. Let me ask you something tonight. Is faith growing or declining in your life as the years go by? You say, well, how do I know? Then look at your prayer life. Do you pray more now than you used to pray? Is prayer something that is precious and a reality to you and a joy to you? Or is prayer something that you do just as you can? But prayer is not real to you. Will He find faith? Listen, folks, when Jesus comes back, will He find you as a person of faith because you're a man or a woman of prayer? You know something, in this day and time, I believe that many of the foundations have been shaken during this pandemic. No doubt about it. And I believe this with all my heart, that there are Christians that used to go to church that will not go to church after all of this is over. I really believe that. And can I tell you why? It's because their faith has been shaken. They have become weak in their faith, and it is a result of their lack of prayer. You see, tonight, we wonder sometimes, and I think you may have the same question that I have about my own life at times. Why don't I pray? Have you ever wondered that about yourself? You may say, well, I just don't have time to pray. Nobody has time to pray. We make time to pray. And when prayer is important, when prayer is vital, when prayer is something that we believe that we cannot get by without that time alone with God. Look, prayer is not necessarily some deed that we do. It is fellowship with our Heavenly Father. That's what prayer is. Prayer is being in the presence of God. Prayer is talking to God. It is walking with Him. It is knowing Him. And it is loving our Heavenly Father. You see, as these days when iniquity abounds, the Bible says that the love of many will grow cold. Why? Because their faith is attacked, and it is because of their prayer life. Will the Lord find faith? Years ago, I heard this story about a man by the name of A.C. Dixon, and he was a great author of years gone by. I have many books by him. But A.C. Dixon tells the story that one day, as he was outside, it was springtime, as we see the fawns and we see them out and about, and maybe you've seen lots of fawns out right now, baby deers. I was here today all day, but my wife told me that when the kids and her got home, they seen a baby deer in the backyard, and they watched it and observed it, and maybe you've seen them out and about. But A.C. Dixon said that one day he heard the howling of some hounds. And there in the distance, he saw a fawn running for its life. He watched closely as he noticed that the fawn was not going to make it. It was literally running its last race, and it was huffing and puffing, and it was not strong enough to outrun those hounds. But he saw the fawn getting closer and closer. He began to walk closer and closer to the fawn, and there, 10 feet away, the fawn kind of laid down out of exhaustion. And here comes the hounds after the fawn. He knows the fawn is going to die. And the fawn, in a moment, looked up and saw Mr. Dixon. And the fawn ran to him in desperation and buried its head between his standing legs. And he said in that moment, there was something within him that came within his heart. And he picked that fawn up. And as the hounds came, he was swinging the fawn around, protecting the fawn from those dangerous hounds. And he wrote this. And he said, I felt just then that all the dogs in the West could not and should not capture that fawn after its weakness had appealed to my strength. So it is when human helplessness appeals to Almighty God. God is the one who wraps us in His everlasting arms to protect us. He went on to say, well do I remember when the hounds of sin were after my soul until at last I ran into the arms of my Almighty God. Folks, you know something? I see myself as that little fawn. I cannot run from the hounds of this world and the hounds of temptation and despair and the hopelessness that is often in this world. But when human weakness comes to almightiness, God is moved by that prayer. Can I tell you, when we pray, you know what we are saying to God? I am not, but You are able. I can do nothing, but You can do all things. That's what prayer is. It is an act of faith. It is trust. It is dependence upon an Almighty God. When I go to prayer to God, I cannot see God. I cannot hear God. But that is an act of faith. And as we pray, it is faith that is moving the hand of an Almighty God. Tonight, is your faith declining? Or is your faith growing? And if the Lord were to return, will He find faith? Let's take Grace Baptist Church. You're here tonight. Thank God for it. I love you. I thank God to be your pastor. But will the Lord find faith here? I don't know your prayer life, but the Lord does. I do not know how often you pray and when you pray, but the Lord does. God sees our life. It is exposed to Him. And the Lord sees our faith. And our faith is revealed by our prayer life. Luke chapter 18. That men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then He goes on and gives that great parable of the unjust judge. And then the Lord says, and let me read it again in verse number 8. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? It is connected to our prayer life. Would you take your Bibles? You're there in Luke chapter number 18. Would you go over to Luke chapter number 22? Luke chapter 22. I want you to go on a journey with me tonight. And if you allow me, I'd like to give the points at the very end of the message, because I want to speak to you on this subject. Will the Lord find faith? I grew up in Knoxville, Tennessee, and I grew up in a day and time in which, you know, many of you grew up in that time when you could be gone and mom, dad didn't really know what you were doing, but They just trusted you were saved. There was no cell phones. There was nothing like that. There was nothing to track a person or anything. And I remember I'd be gone for hours upon end. And you know, oftentimes my dad and mom, and especially my dad, would tell me, "Son, I'm coming home at this time, and the yard better be mowed." Well, I had to push that yard. It was at least 25 acres, I know for sure. At least that's what I thought when I was a kid. You go back there today and it's so small. I'm like, good night. That's nothing, you know. But when I was a kid, it was a lot of things to do. There was a lot of cats to find. There was a lot of things like that to take care of, and tree houses to be built. There was gas stations to go to buy all kinds of healthy ices and candy and things like that. And there was all kinds of things to do. I remember one time in particular, my dad came home early. Wasn't that terrible of him to do that to me? It was terrible, you know. I was expecting him to come home at a certain time, and I was going to try to get that done right before he came. He came home early. And you know what he found? He found me not where I was supposed to be. He found me not doing what he had asked me to do. Jesus is coming again. You know, the Bible says, in an hour when you think not, the Son of Man will come. Jesus comes again. I'm going to ask you something. Your personal life, will he find faith in your life? You say, "Pastor, I'm a Christian." Wonderful. But are you exercising faith day by day? Are we living a life of faith, trusting our God, depending upon God? Are we living that life of faith? Will he find faith? Jesus knew how important the foundation of faith was. That's why he spoke this. And Luke chapter 22 to Simon Peter. Look what it says in Luke chapter 22. Let's begin, if you would please, in verse number 31. Luke chapter 22 and verse number 31. The Bible says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon." Why did Jesus use Peter's old name? To remind him of what he was. To remind him how weak he was. He said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." And my dear church tonight, can I tell you, as I stand here before you and as you sit there in those pews or as you watch on live stream tonight, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. He is sifting Christians today. And you know what he targets? Their faith. Their faith. Look what he goes on to say. Verse 32. "But I have prayed for you." Isn't that precious? "I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." The Lord Jesus said to Simon Peter, he said, "Peter, I'm going to tell you something. Satan wants you. I know it. I know what the devil wants to do in your life. And he's going to target your faith. I pray that your faith fail not." Your faith is so important. And tonight we can say, "I want greater faith." But the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And as we are alone with God in prayer and in His Word, and by the way, they too work simultaneously. They too is working in our life. I believe for me, can I just tell you this? I like to start off by just a short prayer. "God, speak to my heart. Holy Spirit, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things of thy law." And then my reading of God's word, it creates a life of prayer. It brings me to my knees in prayer. It literally causes the prayer. And then that time alone with God. Listen, that's how our faith is growing. That's how our faith is building. But I'm going to tell you what we find most in America. And let's talk about the children of God. You find hopelessness. You find despair. You find worry. You find fear. And God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? Oh, listen. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Can I tell you where a sound mind comes from? A life of faith. And here, Peter, the Lord said, "Peter, your faith, I'm concerned about your faith, that it fails not." Our Lord was declaring a central truth. It was Peter's faith that he was seeking to guard. And let me tell you this tonight. The most important thing that must be guarded in your life and in my life is our faith. Our faith must be guarded. Listen, the Bible says, as we talk about the shield of faith, you know what he says? Above all, taking the shield of faith, that ye may be able to quench all the fiery darts. Folks, tonight, Satan throws his fiery darts at our minds. He puts doubts about God, doubts about God's care, doubts about God's provision, doubts about the love of God. Oh, listen, those fiery darts come. And if you do not have the shield of faith that is put up, you are vulnerable to the fiery darts. Those fiery darts, they're fiery. They burn. They hurt. They cause great harm and damage. That's why the Word of God must be deep within our heart. And as we draw nigh to God in prayer, our faith grows. Our faith must be guarded. That's why I believe Peter said in 2 Peter chapter number 1, if you would like to turn there, you may, or you can just listen to me as I read it to you. You remember Peter, he knew something about faith being targeted. And that's why Peter said in 2 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 5, he said, and beside all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Why? Why do we don't add faith? We add to our faith because faith is the cornerstone. It is the foundation. Do you know something? Listen, our church is built on the foundation of our faith in Jesus Christ. Our salvation is based upon our faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. He went to the cross. He bled and died for the sins of all mankind. He was buried in the borrowed tomb. And he rose again from the grave. And Jesus is the only way to heaven. It is not through the waters of baptism. It is not through the church. It is not through anything. It is through Jesus Christ and Him alone. But the very foundation of our faith there is based upon the truth of the Word of God. Folks, we must know what the Bible teaches for us. We must believe it by faith. And listen, if the only Bible that you're getting is on Sundays or Wednesdays, your faith is weak. You need daily the Word of God. So we see here that Peter spoke of his faith. He said, you must add to your faith. Faith was the foundation on which other things were to be built. May I say to you tonight, our faith is kept alive by our prayer life. For 2 months in our church, we had online services only. I cannot tell you what that was like. You know, when I went to Bible college, they did not teach me pandemic theology, all right? It just wasn't there. I wish they had given me a course on it somehow. But, I mean, good night. The last time we had a pandemic was over 100 years ago. And I remember those 2 months. I know it was difficult on you, but I'm going to tell you, as a pastor that wants to be with his people and loves his people, it was hard. In fact, not seeing you, not being able to be with you was difficult for me. Not being able to talk with you and you talk with me. And let me just put it to you this way. It, I believe, created somewhat of a distance. There was no doubt. It had to create a distance. But folks, how much more do we believe of the distance that it creates between us and our God, and how that our faith becomes so weak when we do not talk to God? We are not in His presence. Oh, listen, the great privilege that we have to pray, but we just don't pray. Will He find faith? You know, I believe every one of us tonight, we have some type of time when we're going to begin to pray like we need to pray. You know, by the way, you and I, we are the greatest Christians tomorrow. Are we not? The new year. This new year comes. By the way, 2020 hasn't been so good. We need another new year, you know? I mean, let's fast forward to 2021, you know? But you know, the truth is, we always have that time, that some imaginary time when I get retired, when this happens, when I get the kids out of the house, or eat me out of house and home anyway, and you know, we get to this place. All these things, then I'm going to be a person of prayer. Will he find faith today? That men ought always to pray and not to faint. You know something? Some of us are fainting. We are not doing what God has given us to do, what God has equipped us to do, what God has gifted us to do, and we are fainting there. We are quitting on the Lord. We are stopping in the matter of obedience, and it's because of our prayer life. Faith which creates powerful praying is the faith which centers itself on a powerful person. I remember years ago going fishing. Now, I'm not a great fisherman, and I'll tell you why. Because you have to have patience going fishing. I mean, I just struggle with that. You know, I'm like, hey, I'm here. You need to come here. Let's get this over with, all right? Fish, get here. You know, I need the Lord with me, you know, to bring the fish in. But I remember one time I was fishing with a group of people. And, man, I wasn't catching anything, you know. And I was praying, too, while I was fishing. Lord, send me a big one. But nothing was happening. And all of a sudden, I just got disinterested. I was like, man, forget this. I'm not going to fish. I laid down my pole and started goofing off with some other friends. And then one of my friends caught a big one. Man, it was big. And you know what I did? I went back to fishing. I believed it was real once again. Well, so often that is like our prayer life, is it not? We don't pray because we really don't believe God. We don't pray because maybe we think God doesn't hear and answer prayer. We don't say it because it's blasphemous, but we don't live it. We don't pray because we just don't think God hears our prayer. We don't pray tonight because it is connected to our faith in God. If we believe that God really heard our prayer, if we believe that God is ready to open the windows of heaven and bless us, we would pray tonight. But we don't pray because our faith is so weak. Oh, may God help us. Our faith must be guarded. Faith in Christ's ability to do and to do greatly is the faith that prays greatly. Number one tonight, I'm going to give you these things, and I pray that God can help us. Number one, faith is obedient. Faith is obedient. Now let's think just for a moment. You remember the leper who prayed, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. You know something? The Lord Jesus answered that prayer in Luke chapter 5. Because it was a prayer of faith. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. The leper was saying, Lord, I know that you're able, and if you choose to, I believe that you can heal me and cleanse me. And Jesus healed that man. Remember back in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus questioned the blind man who came to him for healing. And can I tell you what we find there? Let me read it to you in Matthew chapter number 9. I want to show you this passage here. Matthew 9 verse 27, you can just listen. And the Bible says, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men following him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. Do you know tonight that it is according to our faith that God answers our prayer? But you say, well, Pastor, I want to have great faith, but why does our faith not grow? You must get into the Bible and get the Word of God into your heart. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And then as we believe and put our faith in the Word of God, then we pray. We believe God. There have been many times that I've been reading the Bible, and God has, in a sense, given me something from His Word. How many knows what I'm talking about when God gives you something from His Word? That's good. You know, it's something like God gives to you. You can own it. It's mine. I take it. I love that. I remember in specifically that I was reading the Word of God, and I was dealing with something personally in my life, something that I really didn't know how to pray for. And while I was reading the Bible, God showed me how to pray for what I was dealing with. And can I tell you something? It was the faith in His Word that caused me to pray in a way that God would answer that prayer. And He did. You see, tonight, will he find faith? I pray that when Jesus comes back, he can look at Grace Baptist Church and say, there's a church that has great faith. Well, how is our faith measured? By our prayer. Because you see, faith is obedient to God. Take your Bibles tonight and let's go to the Gospel according to John. And I'm going to show you a few things in the Gospel according to John. Because faith is obedient. You say tonight, how do I know if I have faith? Well, faith obeys God. Faith obeys. You remember when God called Abraham to take his only son, Isaac, and take him up and offer him for a sacrifice. Do you know that faith was obedient? Abraham obeyed God. He took his son and he believed by faith that if God told him to kill his own son, that he would raise him from the dead. That's what the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews. But faith is obedient. Tonight, you and I have strong faith or weak faith based on our obedience to God. John chapter 4, I want you to notice something very specific here. John chapter number 4, and let's begin, if you would please, in the Gospel according to John. And let's begin in verse number 43. John 4 and verse number 43. The Bible says, now after 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. That when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast. For they also went into the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Now, by the way, this man exhibited faith. He went to Jesus. He knew he was able. And then Jesus said unto him, verse number 48, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Folks, we ought to take great heed to that verse. So often our faith is not strong because we want to see signs and wonders. Just like that day, I didn't believe fishing because I couldn't see those fish. I couldn't hear those fish. And I stopped. But till I saw one, I saw signs and wonders, I was right back at it. Folks, are we waiting on God to do some sign and wonder before we will really pray? Before we will really exercise our faith? The verse number 49, the nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend, and they said unto him, yesterday, in the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. Here's the ideal. The man believed the word. Folks, tonight, do you believe the words of God? Do you put your faith in his word? Listen tonight, we need no revelation from God. There is no second revelation. We have the complete revelation, the word of God tonight. This is how God is speaking today through his word. Do you believe the word? You see, faith is obedient. Tonight, I am not a person of faith and therefore not a person of prayer if I'm not obedient to God. What area of your life tonight are you not obeying the Lord? And it is often because of faithlessness. Let's just take the matter of church attendance. Let's just take it. Now I know I'm preaching to you tonight. You're here. But let's take that someone says, well, I don't have to go to church so faithfully. But the Lord commands us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Pastor, I'm so busy. I've got so many things to do. But faith says, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to believe His word. That's faith. Paying the tithe. You may say, I can't afford to pay the tithe. As a child of God, we would say, I can't afford not to pay the tithe. Listen, you can't afford to rob God. But faith says, God's going to meet my need. I'm going to believe His word. Faith obeys. It's obedient. When the Lord put in my heart to preach, I'm going to tell you, I wrestled with God in my mind. I said, God, this is a bad idea. Lord, you know what I made in speech class. Lord, you know that. Lord, you know I can't even hardly look at someone in the eyes. I said, Lord, this is a bad idea. There's lots of better people out there to call. But you know what I did? Faith obeyed. I said, Lord, I'll do it. I don't know how, but I'll obey you. And guess what? God enables me as I obey Him. Just like the man who was born blind, who was told to go wash in the pool of Siloam. When he obeyed, guess what? He was healed. Just like Peter on the lake of Gennesaret, he cast the net where Jesus commanded, and instantly, without question or doubt, he took in a great group of fish. Why? Because faith obeys. Faith is quick to obey God. A praying faith keeps the commandments of God and does those things which are well-pleasing in His sight. Look here. Because we live a life of obedience, it's because we just don't believe God. Listen, if we believe that God is true and that God is just and that God sees all that we do. And by the way, you know a life of fearing God. You know why you fear God? Out of faith. You believe that God sees you. You believe that God knows everything we put in our eye gate and our ear gate and out of our mouth gate. We believe God. That's why we obey Him. Tonight, we don't do what we should do because we simply do not believe. The nobleman took the Lord at His word. Can you imagine that man? He said, Jesus, please come with me. He put his faith in the Lord. And Jesus said, go thy way. Go thy way. Your son will be healed. And the man believed the word. You know what many of us would do, including myself? No, Lord, look. You've got to go with me. But he put his faith in the word of Jesus Christ. Faith obeys. Number two, faith waits upon God. You know that faith is called upon to wait in patience before God and is prepared for God's seeming delays in answering our prayers. Go to John chapter number 11, if you would please. You're there in the book of John. Let's go to chapter number 11. I want to show this to you. Now let me say this to you. We all want God to answer our prayer immediately. Can I just tell you a secret? You probably know it. We're doing this renovation on the church and all this. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm having a hard time being patient. You know? I want them to come and get stuff done and let's do it today. And if you have to work all night, get it done. All right? That's kind of how I think sometimes. You know? And that's not right, you know. I'd be glad if they wanted to do that, and that'd be just fine with me, you know. But it's hard to wait. But you know what? Faith waits upon God. It waits upon God. Faith does not grow disheartened because prayer is not immediately answered. It takes God at His word and lets Him take His time in choosing to answer when God sees best. Folks, there is bound to be much delay and long days of waiting for true faith. But faith accepts the conditions. Luke chapter and John chapter number 11, we come to a story where we might think that Jesus delayed, and He did delay. In fact, there was a man named Lazarus. By the way, Jesus loved Lazarus. He cared for him greatly. And Lazarus was sick and he was going to die. And you know what Jesus did? He tarried. I think if the disciples, no doubt, they would have said, Jesus, now look, we need to go. The man's dying and you need to get there. Lord, you can heal him. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go right now. And that's how we are sometimes. Lord, I can't wait on this. Lord, I need this now. I need this now. I'm tired of this situation and I want relief from it now. That's how they were. But the Bible says that Jesus tarried. On purpose, He waited. That seems merciless. That seems uncaring. But God is never the unjust judge. He's full of compassion and mercy. And notice what the Bible says in John chapter number 11. I want you to look at verse number 14. Now you're going to think this is strange, but they're trying to urge Him to go. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. We might think, Lord, wait a minute. We read on in verse 15, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Now, I'm not going to read the whole story because you know the story. In fact, Jesus comes and you know what the Bible says. Martha was like, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Lord, why didn't you come? Why did you delay? But faith waits on God. In fact, Jesus even told the disciples, I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Do you know so often the Lord delays in answering our prayer to increase our faith, to grow our faith? Folks, here was a case with Lazarus where the Lord often, it was obvious that He delayed on purpose so that their faith would grow. Folks, patience has its perfect work in the school of delay. Faith grows. By the way, delay is of the very essence a matter of prayer. Do you know that when you and I pray, often God delays to answer our prayer because we're not ready for the answer to that prayer? I want you to think just for a moment. Jacob prayed to be delivered from Esau. But before that prayer could be answered, there had to be much to be done in the heart and life of Jacob before God would answer that prayer. You know the story. The Bible says that that night Jacob wrestled with a man. It was God. And there Jacob was wrestling. Why didn't God just answer the prayer immediately? Because God was changing the man. Do you know that often when we pray and the answer seems to be delayed, God is changing us. God is working in us. God is growing us. Faith in Christ, folks, is the basis of what God is doing. You're there in the book of John. I want to show you something tonight. John chapter 5. And you got to stay with me on this journey. We're coming to a close here. Faith obeys, but faith waits on God. But I want you to see something about faith. I found something that's marvelous to me in the Bible, and you have to follow along with me. We're going to kind of go quickly in John 5 and then go to John chapter 6 and John chapter 7. And we're going to jump around because I want you to see something that I think is very important. John 5, the Bible says in verse number 24. John 5, verse 24. The Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. And shall not come into condemnation, this pass from death unto life. Now notice the theme. He hears my word, he believes on me. John chapter 6, verse 35. That's what the Bible says. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that come to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Here it is. His words, we believe on Him. That is faith, hearing the word and believing in Jesus Christ. Let's read on. John chapter 6 and verse 47. Look in verse 47 of the same chapter. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. John chapter 7 and verse 38. Notice this. We come to this passage. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Folks, we're going to read on here in just a moment. Do you understand that it is believing on Jesus, believing on Him, trusting in Him, depending upon Him. The Bible says that's where the Christian life is all about. That's how we come to know Christ as our Savior, by believing in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Nothing else but Jesus alone. We believe on Jesus Christ. But it is believing on Him that out of His river, out of the Bible says His belly, shall flow rivers of living water. That's a symbol, the Spirit of God in our lives and giving us that abundant Christian life. It is believing on Him. Go to John chapter number 12 and verse 44. Notice what the Bible says here. John 12, verse 44. The Bible says, Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on Me, believeth not on Me, but on Him that sent Me. It is believing on Jesus Christ, believing what He has said, believing who He is, believing on His commands, believing. It is our faith life. John chapter 14 and verse number 12, the last verse we'll look at. Notice what the Bible says, John 14 and verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on Me, now I want you to notice this promise, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto My Father. He that believeth on Me. Folks, when Jesus comes, will He find faith on the earth? Will He find faith here? You know, at this time, and I'm not going to continue to preach here. I'm just going to close this down. But I think during a time we've gone through this COVID crisis, this pandemic through our nation, and now the rioting that's taken place, and now it seems like the COVID is seeming to rise up once again. There's uncertainty. There's unrest. But I believe with the children of God, their faith is weakening. The foundation of their faith. Because iniquity abounds, the love of many wax cold. Why? Because of our faith. Our faith is being targeted right now in this church and in your personal life. Simon, Simon, Satan had desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. You know what the devil wants to do to every one of us? He wants to throw us to the wind of this world and to remove us far from where God wants us to be. Your faith is the very foundation. The prayer life. Look at your prayer life tonight. Would you say, boy, Pastor, I just don't pray. I'll tell you why you don't pray. And what I don't pray is because we don't believe. We don't believe on Him. We don't believe His Word. As the nobleman believed His Word. And tonight, may God help us to renew our faith in Christ. To come before the Lord and say, God, forgive me of my lack of faith. In fact, all through the Bible, you know that Jesus was marveled because of their lack of faith. I believe Jesus is marveled today at the children of God's lack of faith. Tonight, let's get back to the Bible. Let's believe on His Word. And let's spend that time in prayer. Folks, we have an almighty, all-powerful God tonight who hears and answers prayer. Amen. And I'm going to tell you this. I still believe that God is able to bring revival to America. Amen. Why does revival not come? Because we just don't believe it. We don't believe God's able. We don't believe He's able to redeem. We don't believe He's able to change and transform lives. Let's believe it tonight. Faith obeys. Faith waits on God. God in heaven, help us tonight. Lord, help me. Lord, if there's anyone that needs this message, it's me tonight. Father, we know how much Satan targets faith. Lord, tonight, we know that without faith, it's impossible to please You. But we know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. We know that You're the object of our faith. Lord, help us to get our eyes off of ourselves, off of this world, off of the trials, and may we look unto Jesus. May we draw nigh He would say, Pastor, the Lord has dealt with me. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? He's spoken to my heart, Pastor. Amen. Thank you. Tonight, I stand guilty before God. And I believe many of us would have to say the same. Tonight, let's rush to this altar, into His presence. I want you to think about that little fawn that was being attacked, hunted by the hounds. Tonight, the devil wants you and me. Let's run to His everlasting arms and declare our helplessness before an almighty God. Let's stand together, would you please? Father in heaven, I pray that you would bless this invitation. Lord, increase our faith. Lord, I pray you'll do what is necessary that our faith will grow and that we will be children of God with great faith. Lord, I pray that you can look here in this church and say, I see great faith there. And Lord, if we have great faith, we know that we will pray. Lord, I pray that you can find faith in our homes and find faith in this church. Do your work tonight and help us to obey you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight I want to ask you to join me at this altar. We're going to have the piano to play. Would you join me here? And let's look to a God that we can faith tonight. The piano begins to play. Would you come? Tonight, let's go to hymn number 59. Can we sing it before we leave? Just one verse and one stanza. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me when I pray, take all my sin away. Oh, let me from this day be wholly thine. Let's sing it together, Brother Stevenson. Would you come and lead us? Hymn number 59. That's the key, looking to Jesus, looking away from everything else and looking to Christ. May God help us, and I thank you for your faithfulness. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your goodness. And Lord, my heart is full tonight. God, help us that you would find faith in our personal lives. Draw us nigh to thee. May we grow in our faith. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you. You are dismissed.